Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
I would encourage you to go to your Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah, more towards the front of the Old Testament than the latter part. Nehemiah, we're going to draw some thoughts from this book here in just a minute. Next week, of course, we're 2 weeks out from our vacation Bible school. It's hard to believe, not this Wednesday night, but next Wednesday night, VBS will be a thing of the past. We'll be welcoming people. Actually, at this point, hopefully we'll be enjoying a good meal and coming out of that. So we're looking forward to that. Next week, there are a whole lot of events happening in the area. If you would like to go to any of those, support our sister congregations. I'm filling in at Red Hill Sunday night. That's in Readable. Let's see, Earlyville's VBS is next week, and I'm speaking there on Tuesday night, the Parable of the Sower. Would love to see you there. And then Sarah and I, we will not be here Wednesday night, a week from tonight. Summitville's gospel meeting's going on, and I am preaching in that, and I don't know what my topic is yet. Still figuring that one out, but nonetheless. And I feel like I should really go to that, since Lane Dix is the preacher there, and he called me a few months ago and said, "When is your VBS?" And I said, "It's the 16th or the 19th of July. He said, "All right, our gospel meeting's the week before. We want you to come on Wednesday night." So I kind of feel like I should probably go to that one. I want us to look at Nehemiah. Nehemiah is a very interesting character in Scripture. And to me, what has always thrown me off as I study through God's Word is the simple fact to have to remind myself that the Old Testament books do not necessarily appear in chronological order. Nehemiah appears, as I mentioned a moment ago, more towards the front than the latter part, yet his events happen more towards the end of the Old Testament than they do anywhere else. And I wanted to borrow just a moment from Brother George Dehoff's Bible Handbook on his introduction on Nehemiah, just so we better understand the man. Nehemiah was the cupbearer to King Artaxerxes. This was a position of great honor, which brought him into a familiar contact with the king and other leaders. The book of Nehemiah was probably written by Nehemiah himself, and it's quite probable that Ezra helped Nehemiah to write this book. It takes its name from Nehemiah. He is the principal character. Now, history says Nehemiah went to Jerusalem in 444 B.C. He'd already been there Ezra had been there 13 years as a priest. Nehemiah came as a civil governor with authority from the king of Persia to rebuild the wall and fortify Jerusalem. The Jews had already been home nearly 100 years, but beyond rebuilding the temple, they had made little progress in rebuilding the city. I want us to look tonight with our time allotted before us with the topic of getting the job done. Nehemiah saw that there was a problem. In fact, Nehemiah, you could say, was a good architect because part of the wall that Nehemiah helped the people rebuild some 400 years before the time of Christ, parts of that wall still stand today in Jerusalem. To me, that's amazing. 2,400 some odd years later, parts of this wall still stand. Notice here in Nehemiah chapter 4, there are four things that you and I must have if we want to get any job done that lies before us. Four things that are imperative to get the job done. And the first one we see is in verse number 6, where Nehemiah says, "So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together under the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work." Number one, if we want to get any job done that is set before us, we must have a mind to work. Why is it imperative that Jerusalem has a wall? You remember in your Bible studies, Jerusalem is literally a city set upon a hill. Everywhere you went, the Bible always says they went up to and down from Jerusalem because it was higher than everything else in the area. So if you're a city on a hill, you want a fortified wall so when the enemy comes marching up, they may march up the hill, but they can't come into your city. So number one, the people had a mind to work. See, they saw there wasn't a wall, and they needed a wall. So they made it their point, their prerogative, if you will. We must get this wall done. Keep going. And look here in verse number 9. Number two, what do I need to get the job done? Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto God. I must have a heart that's willing to pray. Not enough that I have my mind ready to work, I must have my heart that's ready to pray. Dear Christian friend, I'm not going to stand here and give you a number of times that you should pray to God every day. Now, some religions will do that. They'll tell you, for instance, the Islamic religion, they specify the times you must pray at these following times, and you're to turn, face Mecca, and get down and bow. The Bible doesn't teach you and I a specific number of times. Although Daniel prayed morning, noon, and night, David did as well, so there's at least three good times. We should always have a heart that's willing to pray. Pray for those who are sick. Pray for the work to continue. Pray for this. Pray for that. And I'll give you a pro tip. Here's what I do, because maybe it happens to you as well. People say, would you please pray for, and they'll fill in a name, because. Please pray for my neighbor, because stepped on a tack. I don't know, whatever the case may be. Right then and there, I pray for them. Because if not, I'm liable to forget. Especially if I don't know who these people are. I still want to pray for them though. So you always must have a heart that is ready to pray. That's number two. Number three, stay with me in verse number 9. In order to have a mind to work, he says, and set a watch against them day and night because of them. I must have a mind to work, a heart to pray, and an eye that wants to watch. I kind of feel like we're doing that vacation Bible school song. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, and mind what you think. See, they had to set a watch. Just because it was a walled city up on a hill didn't mean that they still didn't have security guards out there. You read in the Bible of hours, those were watches during the day or periods during the day where they would watch. And at night, they called them the night watchmen. Maybe you've heard that phrase. That's what they broke up the night in 3-hour segments. And you had the first, second, third, or fourth watch of the night. They would go out there and they would look. We must have an eye that's ready to watch if we want to get the job done. I tell you, the attitude I love when it comes to service for the Lord is see a need, fill a need. And in that, you don't even have to wait for somebody to say, John, do you mind doing this? You just notice maybe the trash needs to be taken out, so you just do it. Maybe you notice that whatever it is, you just go ahead and do it. You don't have to wait for somebody to ask you to, and you don't have to wait for somebody to pat you on the back and say, good job, because serving the Lord is its own reward. So I must have a mind to see, a heart to pray, an eye to watch, and jump all the way down to verse number 20. He says, in what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, our God shall fight for us. Number four, I must have an ear that's ready to hear. See, I must have an ear ready to hear. I love this passage, really, beginning in verse 15, 16. The idea is, as they're building the wall, in one hand they've got their instruments of construction, and in the other hand they have their instruments of destruction. They're ready to build with one hand and fight off the enemy in the other hand. See, they were ready to go. And when you heard the trumpet, that meant the enemy's coming. They would build towers and look out and wait for the enemy to come, and the trumpet would sound as a warning of impending doom. So if I want to get the job done, I've got to have an ear to hear. You know, Jesus frequently says, does he not? He that has ears to hear, let him hear. He says that in the gospel accounts. He says that 7 times in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3 when he addresses the 7 churches that sit there at Asia Minor. So we must be ready to hear. And in that, we must hear when danger comes, but we also must be willing to hear what God has said. Because God was giving them instructions on how to rebuild the wall, and it was imperative for them that they heard and heeded those instructions. Dear friends, you and I, we have a job set before us. Number one, to be a Christian. Number two, to live a faithful Christian life. And number three, to evangelize the world around us. And in order to get that job done, number one, we must have a mind to work. Say, I'm ready to do what God wants me to do by becoming a Christian. Hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, being baptized, going down that watery grave, come out a new creature, alive in Christ. And that mind to work, I'm going to remain faithful. That mind to work, I'm going to evangelize and invite those around me to come to church. And I must have the heart that will pray that God's will always be done. Eyes to watch for the danger. But sometimes those eyes need to watch for those who are low. Sometimes we just need to give a pat on the back to those who may be struggling with something, and we must have an ear to hear what God has said. I hope you have a mind to work, and I hope you're ready to get the job done. Dear friends, we have a monumentous task in front of us, but it is worth it. Fight the good fight as a Christian.
Grab your Bible. It's time for Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road. Now, here's Justin.
Oh, thank you, Brother Dearman. Glad to have you along with us here on Reading the Word. If you want to join us again, or listen to this program again, I should say, anytime online, you can do so at readingtheword.net, R-E-A-D-I-N-G, readingtheword.net. This is program 163, simply titled Getting the Job Done. I want us to spend the rest of our time allotted today doing the namesake of the show or the program. I just want us to read God's Word. And as time has permitted, we've been doing this, and we're reading through the book of James, and I'll be beginning in James chapter 3 and verse 13. James chapter 3 and 13. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. James chapter 4. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your own members? Ye lust, and have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight, and war, and ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask, and receive not, because you ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh unto God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother, and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James chapter 5. Go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl, for your miseries shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted, your garments are moth-eaten, your gold and silver is cankered. The rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you, kept back by fraud, crieth, and the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth. Ye have lived in pleasure on the earth, and been wanton, and have nourished your hearts as in day of slaughter. Ye have condemned and killed the just, and he doth not resist you. That's going to do it for us today. I do appreciate you being here on Reading the Word. May the good Lord bless you. May he keep you. Please continue to pray. And thank you so much for listening.
This has been Reading the Word with Justin Reed, the minister at the Arlington Church of Christ on Faulkner Springs Road in McMinnville.